forest. "Children," Aunt Gris said, "are you hiding from me? How delightful." Alex ran faster, regretting for the first time his lifelong hatred of exercise. His heart felt like it was going to explode. The air in his lungs thinned to a trickle. He ignored it all. "Run!" Finally, they reached the door to the apartment. There was no longer any need for the bone keys. The door had been blown from the frame. Charred splinters crunched beneath Alex's shoes. Natasha blasted it off with magic, he thought. Guess she didn't have an extra set of keys after all. The children ran down the hallway and into the living room. Alex's heart fell. The wall that blocked their passage to the outside world seemed more impassable than ever. "Okay, Lenore," Yasmin said. "Do your thing." "What thing?" Alex asked. The beating of his heart sounded like a metronome turned to its highest setting. He leaned on a table, afraid he was going to collapse, and saw his notebook sitting there. An idea stirred. "If only we can get out of here." "Lenore got a full dose of the sleeping oil," Yasmin said. "But that wasn't all. She breathed in the mist that gave Natasha her magic, too. So I figure she's got a few spells in her." "She's a cat." Lenore puffed out her chest. "Exactly." She raised a single paw into the air and closed her eyes in concentration. Nothing happened. "Give her a chance," Yasmin said with a nervous smile. "We tried it out in the cell. She made a spoon float in the air." This is a little different, Alex thought, but he didn't want to be discouraging. He looked down the hallway and into the forest. It remained empty. For now. "You almost had it," Yasmin exclaimed with encouragement. "I definitely saw something flicker there for a moment. Keep trying, Lenore." She turned to Alex. "Any sign of Aunt Gris?" "Not yet," he said, glancing in her direction. Lenore was floating slightly off the ground, both paws raised now. "I'll let you know the moment..." Aunt Gris appeared in the doorway.
"I recognize that voice," she said, entering the apartment. "The storyteller. I owe you my gratitude for the pleasant dreams you've given me these past few weeks."
"So you won't eat me?"
"On the contrary," Aunt Gris said. "It just makes me more curious what you might taste like."
She took a large bite of her index finger and crunched it between her teeth. It instantly grew back again.
"Alex!"
Yasmin screamed. The front door had not only appeared, it was open. Beyond it, Alex could see the fourth floor hallway, drab and ugly and fantastically real. He grabbed his notebook and ran, gritting his teeth as he leaped across the threshold, certain that some kind of magic would hold him back. Then he heard the muffled sound of the frayed hallway rug beneath his sneakers and knew that he was free. He grinned at Yasmin, who was running right beside him. "We're out of the apartment," he thought triumphantly. "For real this time." That didn't mean they were safe, though. Alex glanced over his shoulder to see if Natasha was following them and saw that Lenore had stopped outside the apartment door. She raised her paws in the air, casting another spell. "What's she doing?" Alex wondered. And then he saw Aunt Gris try to leap into the hallway and crash into an invisible barrier instead. She hissed in frustration and glared down at Lenore.
"I see Natasha is not the only one who's been stealing my magic," the witch said. "I'm disappointed, Lenore. After all those centuries we spent together, I expected more loyalty from you."
That's why Natasha never liked Lenore, Alex thought, still moving toward the elevator at the end of the hall. She wasn't even her cat. Lenore looked up at Aunt Gris and meowed pleadingly.
"You've grown soft in your old age, my friend," Aunt Gris said. "I'm afraid the children really do have to die. And then I'll come back and deal with you."
The witch ran a single nail along the invisible barrier. A long scratch began to appear. Lenore turned to Alex. Her use of magic had taken its toll. She looked like she was about to collapse from exhaustion. "That's all I can do," she seemed to say. "I'm sorry." She vanished. The children ran to the elevator at the end of the hall. Yasmin punched the panel. For once, the doors opened right away. Alex hurried inside and pressed the B button, while Yasmin repeatedly jabbed the button to close the doors. Finally, they slid shut. The elevator's gears squeaked to life. They started to descend. "You have a plan?" Yasmin asked. Alex raised the notebook in his hands. "Not exactly," he said. "More of an idea. First thing we have to do is get to the basement. After that..." The lights went off, plunging them into darkness. Footsteps skittered across the roof of the elevator.
"She's here,"
Yasmin whispered. Alex nodded, afraid to move. The elevator rocked back and forth like a ship at sea. Above them, the witch stomped her feet and giggled. The car fell. Alex loved thrill rides as much as the next 12-year-old, but this wasn't like Free Fall or Tower of Terror. This was horrifying. The children screamed as they plummeted to earth, the car banging against the walls of the shaft like a runaway train. Alex closed his eyes and awaited the inevitable crash. They jerked to a sudden halt. Yasmin and Alex fell together in the tangle of arms and legs. They quickly got to their feet, bruised, but okay. The elevator doors opened. Yasmin peeked out.
"It's the basement, just like you wanted," she said.
"Yay?"
They stepped onto the concrete floor, and the elevator doors instantly closed behind them. Alex heard a sizzling sound and saw the handle to the stairwell melt away.
"No way to escape,"
he thought. Aunt Gris cackled. It seemed everywhere at once.
"Come on,"
Alex whispered. They wove between towering stacks of boxes and into an open area where larger items were stored, a rotted crib overflowing with doll parts, moldy sofas with springs busting through the cushions, and an old pinball machine with a cracked display. Alex could hear the rush of flames as old Smokey, the ancient boiler, worked hard to keep its charges nice and toasty. He walked faster.
"Okay," Yasmin said. "What's this plan of yours?"
"We're doing it."
"Walking?"
"No," he whispered. "We're leading the witch toward the..."
Yasmin screamed as she flew backward. Alex spun around and saw his friend and Aunt Gris's outstretched hands. The witch leaned forward and opened her jaws far wider than should have been possible. She seemed determined to fit Yasmin's entire head into her mouth. Alex opened his notebook.
"Jason couldn't decide which was stranger," he read. "The fact that his sister died every Tuesday at 11:15, or that she always came back to life 22 minutes later."
Aunt Gris shook her head like a student caught not paying attention in class.
"What was that?"
she asked.
"What did you say?"
Alex read the next line.
"Zachary didn't think his day could get any worse until he looked out his car window and saw the monsters."
This time, Alex had truly caught the witch's attention. "She really does love scary stories," he thought. Perhaps the sentences would have had less power if she had heard them already, but these were from failed stories that he never finished or simply threw away. He had liked their openings, however, and written them down on a single page. Alex remembered something that Ms. Coral had once told them. "Every sentence is a learning experience. No writing is ever wasted." He hoped he had a chance to tell her how right she was.
"The gleaming city was a marvel of the modern world, all silver and chrome and glass, except for the ancient hole at its center."
Alex started to walk backward.
Aunt Gris followed him as though in a trance, releasing Yasmin without even realizing it. Alex glanced over his shoulder, making sure that he wasn't going to trip over anything. Right now, he was casting a spell of his own, and the slightest interruption might break its magic. As Mr. Levine wrote the math problem, a sentence scrawled itself into the blackboard just above his head. I was the only one who could see it. Alex could feel Old Smokey's heat on his back. Almost there, he thought. Addie had always thought that clowns were the scariest part of the circus, he read. She was wrong.
Give me the book,
Aunt Gris said. She held out her candy-caned fingers, a hungry, desperate look in her eyes.
I need it.
Keeping one eye on the witch, Alex cautiously opened the heavy iron door to Old Smokey. It was even larger than him. Inside the boiler, flames roared.
What are you doing?
Aunt Gris asked, crossing half the space between them in a heartbeat. Alex read from his notebook, freezing the witch in her tracks. When I woke up that morning, there was a package wrapped in brown paper waiting on my front porch. My address had been written in clear, crisp handwriting. 42 Skybird Lane, Hennington, Pennsylvania. That wasn't the strange part. The strange part was the name written above the address, which wasn't a name at all. It read, "To the man standing right behind you." I turned around. Aunt Gris grinned with childlike pleasure.
What happens next?
She asked.
I have to know!
Good, said Alex. He threw the notebook into the flames. The witch screamed in horror and leaped across the floor, knocking Alex out of the way as she stuck her hands into the raging heat.
No!
She wailed, clawing desperately for the notebook.
What have you done? The stories! The stories!
Yasmin shoved her from behind. Aunt Gris fell forward into the flames. Alex slammed the boiler door shut, and the two children held their backs against it as the witch struggled to escape. Finally, there was a sound like rice pouring into a bowl, and the witch stopped struggling. The smell of burned candy apples filled the air. Alex peeked through the tiny slot in the door. There was nothing left of Aunt Gris but a large mound of sugar and four candy cane fingers. They were still wrapped around the remains of his notebook. 22. The Gift. It had been unusually hot all May, and that Saturday was no exception. By the time Yasmin finally arrived at the park, Alex's favorite Cthulhu t-shirt was stuck to his back. Sorry I'm late, Yasmin said, taking a seat next to him on the bench. She was holding a small paper bag in her hands. I had to finish something up. After a few months of home-cooked meals, the color had finally returned to Yasmin's skin. When she smiled, her cheeks looked healthy and full. That's okay, Alex said. I was just sitting here pondering.
New story?
No, he said. I mean, yes, I'm working on something. A novel, actually. But mostly I was thinking how weird it was. My brother yelled at me this morning for something so stupid it's not even worth getting into, and I'm ecstatic about it. For months my family has been walking around on eggshells, being so nice to me I felt like a stranger in my own home. Now I feel like things are finally returning to normal. I know what you mean, Yasmin said. The other day my mom tore into me for texting Claire when I was supposed to be doing my homework, and I could have hugged her. Yasmin and Alex were at the center of a mystery that had captivated the entire world. 58 confused children, including Yasmin's friends Claire, Eli, and little Juan, had been found wandering the halls of Bayside Apartments. They recalled their names and everything about their lives up until the moment they entered apartment 4E, but nothing past that.
Even more extraordinary, some of the children had been missing for a decade or more and hadn't seemed to age in the intervening years. There was talk of aliens and government conspiracies, but for the families who had finally been reunited after years of grief, there was only one explanation. Miracle. Yasmin and Alex could have shed a considerable amount of light on the subject. They might have told authorities how the missing children hadn't aged because they had been frozen as figurines. They could have also explained how the death of the witch who owned the apartment broke the curse and brought the children back to life. Unfortunately, Yasmin and Alex didn't think anyone would believe them, especially since the apartment had reverted back to a completely non-magical form. And so they had pretended to lose their memories along with everyone else. It was easier that way. "I made you something," Yasmin said, handing Alex the paper bag in her hands. "Hope you like it." "Thanks," Alex said, touched. He felt bad that he didn't have anything to give her in return, but he knew that would change soon. He had been saving up for tickets to a Mets game. Inside the bag was a simple composition book. Yasmin had covered it with pictures of everything that Alex loved, monsters and aliens, creepy clowns and killer dolls, spooky old houses and abandoned amusement parks. The only thing missing was witches. Alex was okay with that. "It's sad that you lost all your night books," Yasmin said. "I figured you could write some new stories in this one." "It's perfect," Alex said, his face growing warm. "It's the nicest gift anyone ever gave me." "Don't get all mushy," Yasmin said, getting to her feet. "Besides, I didn't come here just for you." "Where is she?" Alex nodded toward a large elm tree. "Over there in the shade," he said. "I guess after all those years indoors, she still hasn't gotten used to the sun." Lenore was lying in a comfortable spot at the base of the tree. Yasmin and Alex took turns taking care of her, though they suspected that she was happiest when the three of them were together. The orange cat glanced in their direction now. "I'm glad to see you, but not quite glad enough to walk all the way over there." Yasmin checked her watch and gasped in surprise. "I gotta run," she said. "My parents freak out if I'm like a minute late. Do you really like your present?"
"I love it."
"Don't just love it," she said. "Use it." After Yasmin and Lenore left, Alex headed home, flipping through his new notebook. The empty pages brimmed with possibility.
What if?
Alex broke into a run. He had an idea for a new story, and he couldn't wait to get home and start writing. This is Kirby Hayborn. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Nightbooks by J.A. White. Presented by Catherine Teagan Books and Harper Audio. This program was produced by Elgin Productions. Executive Producer, Caitlin Gehring. Text copyright 2018 by J.A. White. Production copyright 2018 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.